Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
You might be able to fool the people around you. You might be able to even go in a courtroom and fool a jury. You might be able to fool a judge. You might go through your whole life fooling everybody, but you're never fooling God. He knows the truth about everything. And when he judges mankind, he will judge each person according to absolute truth.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, in a message titled, Judgment According to Truth. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
See, this is what Paul is really talking about here. When you condemn somebody else, you're ultimately condemning yourself. And that's what the moralist failed to realize. That's what the moralist fails to realize today. And there are still people like Seneca in the world today who see themselves above the debased. They see themselves as better people. And in doing so, they think that somehow they are exempt from the judgment of God. But Paul's whole point here now is to show the respectable sinner that they are in the same position. In judging others, we condemn ourselves. Remember, Jesus said, "Judge not, lest you be judged, for with the measure you mete out, it will be measured back to you." Boy, I think that we need to spend more time meditating on that statement. Because we're so quick to judge others. But do we realize when we're doing it that that very same standard is going to be applied back to us? When you start thinking about it like that, it really makes you want to just be very, very careful about who you judge and how you judge. So here now, Paul is dealing with this issue of the judgment of God. And in verses 2 on through verse 16, through the apostle's pen, the Spirit of God lays down principles by which men will be judged. Now remember the context here. The context is the wrath of God. And this is what Paul is talking about here, that there is a judgment that's coming. And this is something that we as people in the 21st century, I think we would be very, very wise to get this reality back in our heads, that there is a judgment that's coming, and nobody's going to escape it. Of course, apart from the gospel. But I think what's happened today, and I would imagine that many of you would agree with me, is that man has just sort of dismissed the idea of a judgment, just sort of put it out of his mind like, well, that's just never going to happen. We don't believe that God is ever going to judge. We don't even believe there is a God, so there can't possibly be a judgment. But the Bible, as we've already looked at on other occasions, is full of warnings of the coming wrath of God. And here again, Paul is addressing this. It's an unpopular subject, but it's a reality. There is a judgment coming, and there is a standard of judgment that God is going to mete out that no person will be able to survive. Again, that's why the gospel is absolutely necessary. Let me read verses 2 through 16, and then we'll go back and look at what he tells us about the judgment of God. So he says in verse 2, "But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Or do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God is intended to lead you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So here in these verses that we read, Paul tells us five things about the judgment of God. The first thing he tells us in verse 2 is that the judgment of God will be according to truth. According to truth. You know, it's amazing. My wife she's addicted to like court TV and things like that. You know, all these things on the internet that, you know, all of this stuff that has to do with crime and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, she sucks me into it. You know, she's watching these things and I'm just, you know, come on. Turn that off. And, you know, she keeps it on. And then pretty soon I'm listening. And then she's saying, I know you want to see it. I know you want to know what's going on. And sure enough, I get sucked into this. But I'll tell you, there's a real educational aspect to this stuff when it comes to human nature. When it comes to sinful human nature. And what you see in these cases that's so astounding is how people will just lie through their teeth. They will just lie and weep and pretend to be innocent and, oh, how they love that person. The reality is they murdered them. But, you know, they carry on like they're innocent and they can't believe anybody's trying to condemn them and all this stuff. And you know, sometimes they pull it off. And, of course, that's the way it is in the world, isn't it? There's so much injustice. And there's so much deception. There's so much deceit. But this is what mankind needs to understand, that when God judges, he judges according to truth. He judges according to truth. There's nothing that influences God in his judging of a person. It will be according to absolute truth. And of course, God knows the truth about everything.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
So, you know, you might be able to fool the people around you. You might be able to even go in a courtroom and fool a jury. You might be able to fool a judge. You might go through your whole life fooling everybody. but you're never fooling God. He knows the truth about everything. And when he judges mankind, he will judge each person according to absolute truth. Secondly, in verse 5, we see that men will be judged according to accumulated guilt. Accumulated guilt. God's patience is not a sign that he's not angry or upset or going to deal with sin. God's patience is an opportunity to repent. The reason God doesn't judge people immediately is because he's wanting to give them space to repent. I think of what Jesus said about the church of Thyatira and the woman Jezebel there. He said, I gave her space to repent, but she did not. Therefore, I will cast her and her children into great tribulation. Now, the space that God is giving us to repent isn't a sign that he's not concerned about our sin. It's simply that he loves us and he doesn't want to judge us. But this is what Paul's saying here in the fifth verse. If we misread the patience of God or the goodness of God, and we fail to realize that it's the goodness of God that was intended to lead us to repentance, if we think that the lack of judgment is somehow a sign that God either approves of what we're doing or he doesn't really care, we're deceiving ourselves. And that accumulated guilt, as he refers to it here, we are treasuring up wrath for ourselves in the day of wrath. So it's just accumulating more and more. The longer we go in sin, the longer we refuse to repent, we're just gathering up more for God to judge. So it's according to accumulated guilt. And then in verse 6, Paul tells us that it will be according to works, who will render to each one according to his deeds. And I think the contrast here is between words and works. Because a lot of people say the right thing, but they don't do it. And God isn't in the end going to be judging us based upon what we said. You know, people will say, well, I didn't mean that. Or, you know, well, I planned to do that. Or, well, you know, in my heart, I really wanted. But their actions were completely the opposite of what they're saying was actually, you know, going on in their hearts. Well, they're going to be judged by their actions, not what they were intending to do or not intending to do. There's somehow today, and it's not limited to our generation, but it's certainly prevalent in our generation, where people have the idea that you can somehow be a Christian, and yet it doesn't necessarily translate into behavior, a changed behavior, a behavior that's consistent with the lifestyle that God calls us to live. And I talk to people all of the time who have this major disconnect. On the one hand, they're doing something that's completely and clearly and obviously contrary to the word of God. But yet on the other hand, they're saying, but you know, I love the Lord. And I believe in Jesus. And I know I'm going to heaven. How do you know that? Well, because I accepted the Lord. Well, what does that mean to accept the Lord? Does it mean you just say a prayer and your sins get washed away and then you just go on your merry way and just continue to live the way you're living before? No, it doesn't mean that. And God's going to judge according to deeds, because a Christian is a person who's had a transformation, and so their lifestyle has changed. Their behavior has changed. Their actions are going to be consistent with their claim to be a Christian. So God's going to judge according to works. Verse 11, Paul tells us that the judgment will be without partiality. Now, Paul is moving toward the Jew. When we get to verse 17, Paul's going to take up the case against the Jew. But he no doubt has the Jews in mind, even as he's dealing with the moralist. Now, the Jews would have been the ones who really had this notion that God was partial toward them. They had the mentality that, you know, regardless of how they lived, it didn't really matter because they were Jews and they were the chosen people. They were God's favored people. So their perspective was that God would show favoritism to them simply because they were Jews. And it wasn't obviously, you know, something that was only a problem with the Jews. The moralist would have had a similar kind of thing. Well, God's not going to judge me that way because I'm different. And people are thinking in terms of God showing partiality in judgment. Paul says, no, the judgment of God is going to be without partiality. There's all kinds of things that people today put their confidence in. You know, sometimes I've asked people, are you following Christ? Well, my grandfather was a pastor. Great. I'm glad you told me that. Let me ask you again. Are you following Christ? Well, you know, my mother goes to church all the time. She prays for me. I'm happy to hear that too. But, you know, again, that's not what I asked you. Are you following Christ? But what's the mentality behind those statements? The mentality is God's going to treat me differently because of my grandfather or my mother or, you know, my family associations or something like that. That is a mistaken notion. There is no partiality. I mean, some people have that, you know, in even more extreme ways with sort of national identity or something like that. Or even in some cases, people would have that in regard to maybe their social status. Well, you know, well, this is who I am. And of course, you know, God knows who I am. Everybody knows who I am. I'm a celebrity. I'm famous. I mean, surely God can't judge me like he judges those other people. But surely he will. Because with him, there is no partiality. And then fifthly, Paul says that the judgment of God will be by Jesus Christ. Now, I think there's two things implied here. First of all, Jesus is actually the judge. He's the judge. Remember what Paul said to the Athenians as he was there preaching on Mars Hill. He said, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, and he has shown us the man who's going to judge the world by raising him from the dead. So Paul says Christ is the one who's going to judge the world. Jesus said that he would judge. So he's going to be the judge, but there's something more to it. And this is the other aspect of it. The standard for judgment will be Jesus Christ. The standard for judgment will be Jesus. He is the measuring stick. He is the standard by which everyone is going to be judged. Now, again, we fall into the trap of comparing ourselves with people around us and seeing ourselves as maybe we're not as bad as those people or we're better than those other people. So, you know, we console ourselves a little bit thinking we're going to get away. You know, we're going to pass through that judgment because after all, I'm not as bad as that guy. But that guy's not the standard. That girl's not the standard. Jesus is the standard. So every human being is going to be stood, if you will, beside Christ to see how they measure up. He's the measuring stick. He's the standard. And that's what Paul is saying. In the day that God judges the world, and he will judge the world by Christ, by the standard of Christ. So every moralist, every person who has some sort of confidence in their goodness, their own innate goodness, or their good works, the simple question they have to then address is, am I as good as Jesus? Now, some people might think they are. I actually had a guy one time tell me, as I was trying to share the Lord with him, he said, you know, I don't need to hear that Jesus stuff. He said, Jesus wasn't all that great. I mean, anybody could have done what Jesus did. That's what he said. Well, obviously, the guy didn't have the slightest idea what he was talking about. But there are people that, you know, well, okay, Jesus is the standard. You know, maybe I could measure up. Well, we need to understand what that means. Jesus was perfectly righteous. Jesus never, at any time ever, did anything that was contrary to the will of God. He never said at any time anything that was inconsistent with the holiness of God, the character of God. He never thought thoughts that were in any way contrary to the truth or the law of God. He never desired anything less than the absolute glory of God. That's the standard. Is there a human being, has there ever been anybody that could say, well, I've been as righteous as Jesus? Anybody who says that, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't understand what they're saying. Because it's blatantly obvious that none of us have done that. None of us have even always done the right thing. We're just externally. All of us have done wrong things. Not to mention the things that we've thought. You know, we might be able to do pretty good outwardly. Like the Pharisees, they, to some extent, they did a pretty good job outwardly. Paul said regarding himself, he said that according to the law, he was blameless in the outward sense. But it's because he didn't understand the law. He thought it was just external. The minute he realized through the conviction of the Spirit of God that the law was meant to govern his thinking and his desires and everything else, Paul realized that he was done in. But you see, this is what we're talking about. This is the judgment. This is what Paul wants all of the human race to understand. This is what's coming. For every person that ever has lived, there is this judgment, that this pending judgment, unless, here's the good news, unless you come to Christ. If you come to Christ, then the judgment passes you by because it was laid on him. That's the glorious gospel. And that's what Paul's building toward here. But as we look at this chapter, there's a couple of things further that I want to address, two other things. There's an alleged contradiction here that we need to get cleared up. Now, remember, I'll repeat it again. I said it even at the beginning. Remember, in order to understand this epistle, other of Paul's epistles or other writings or whatever, we always have to, you know, to try to follow the, of course, the context, but we try to have to follow the argument. We have to follow the train of thought all the way to the end.
Many of us pray with little hearts. We mutter the usual prayer and leave with little expectation. But is this how Jesus taught us to pray? This month's resource for a donation of any amount is a book written by Manny Mill titled Radical Prayer, The Power of Being Bold and Persistent. In 2010, Manny's wife Barbara was in an automobile accident. This event caused him to ask, how can I treat God like a paramedic, calling him out only when there's an emergency? God used this as the impetus to begin to transform Manny's prayer life. When you pray consistently, persistently, and boldly for the hallowing of God's holy name, big things happen. Radical Prayer gives us a glimpse of the transformative and explosive power of praying in God's will, a power that takes place internally and manifests externally. Whether your prayer life is strong or in shambles, Radical Prayer will compel you to a life of bold, persistent, transformative, and expectant prayer. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this powerful resource written by a man who has personally experienced the power of radical prayer. For a donation of any size to Back to Basics, we'll send you a copy of Manny Mills' book titled Radical Prayer, The Power of Being Bold and Persistent. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.